No, my heart's desire is that all you come to know Christ as your Savior and love Him. You live for Him. One of these days He's coming back. We're going to stand before a holy God. And I don't care how righteous you are. That's an awesome thing to think about. That you're going to stand before a God who knows everything about you. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful that there was a cross. And my sins were put on that cross. Your sins were put on that cross. And He paid the penalty for you. And as He paid the penalty for you, He made it possible for you to receive Him as Savior. This sermon this morning is supposed to challenge you to evaluate your loyalty to Jesus Christ. I don't know if you caught the bells that Marilyn was playing just before we started the service. As she started, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. And those are the loyalty we're supposed to have. We discovered in Acts chapter 19 and chapters 18 and 19 that the people of Ephesus were being instructed by Paul about the kingdom of God. And once again, I believe that the kingdom of God has sort of a dual aspect. There is a coming kingdom. I believe the glory is still to come. But right now, we as His followers are part of His kingdom. And He has given us gifts to be used until He returns. And we probably will give an account to Him of how we have used the gifts He gave to us. Now, and once again, we go around and around on this thing when it comes to gifts. People say, I just don't know what my gift is. And usually that say, well, that gives me the excuse to just do nothing because I don't know what my gift is. Start with your natural abilities. What can you do? What do you enjoy doing? What is God sort of, you know, He's given you the talents to do something. Some people are good at music. Some people are good at crafts. Some people are good at just, you know, they know how to talk to anybody. Those are natural talents. And you know what you need to do with your natural talents? Lord, here's my natural talents, man. These are the things I enjoy doing. I want to just commit them to you. Lord, I give you my natural abilities. You start doing that, and I think you'll be on the idea, on the line of doing some gifts that God has given you as well. Well, once again, I believe the kingdom of God involves this present aspect, but also a future one. Romans says it this way, I consider that the sufferings, our present sufferings, are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Something good is still coming our way. We also saw that the believers held the name of Jesus in high honor. The last time we were together, we saw how those Jewish ghostbusters tried to cast out demons in this one guy, and they say, hey, in the name of Jesus who Paul preaches, get going. And basically the demon one day said, I know about Jesus and I know about Paul, but who are you dudes? And as a result of that, the man with the evil spirit jumped on him and basically beat the tar out of him. And it says, verse 17 of chapter 19, when this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. They magnified, the King James says, they magnified the name of the Lord. And I would encourage us, that's what I want us to do as a church. This is His church. And we are to exalt the name of our Lord. They magnified, they held His name in high honor. And once again, there's certain things that this involves. First thing it involves is to have a proper fear of God. Now once again, this whole fear of God has two aspects to it. Over on this side of the continuum, there are people who are still outside the family of God, many people outside the family of God, and they should be in fear of standing before a holy God someday because we have all broken, we've all sinned. The word sin in the Old Testament, we're getting close to our marksmanship morning. The word sin in the Old Testament has the idea of to miss the mark. Yeah, and you know, and Bob Tanton is trying to work with me to teach me how to shoot archery, and it's very enjoyable. His targets are pretty safe though. So far, we've been pretty good at not hitting those red marks. Okay. but he says, "I'll get you there. I'll get you there." And but the idea is, you know, I like doing this, and I miss the, you know, I'm aiming. I know what I'm aiming for. I'm aiming for the red target, and it goes, misses the mark. That idea of missing the mark is what the word sin means in the Bible. You've missed the mark. God has given us His commands. Thou shalt not lie. If we lie, we've missed the mark. So God has given us His standards. And probably one of the first verses you ever learned in the New Testament, what? Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and what? Come short of the glory of God. We've missed the mark. And so on this side of the continuum over here, this person should, man, I should be trembling before a holy God because I have sinned and missed the mark. Now, you take that fear of God to the other side. Those of us who are a part of the family of God, we've embraced that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. We believe that, and we're followers of Jesus Christ. And yet, once again, there is still an aspect of awe and reverence. And one of these days, I also will stand before a holy God. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. So since we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. And so the challenge is for them to, one kind of fear is to fear the wrath and judgment. The other kind of fear comes with a desire to please your Heavenly Father. This honoring Jesus also involved a believing aspect. It says here, many of those who believed. And once again, I always want to hammer away, you know, and I think sometimes you think I harp on this, but it's important what you believe individually. And I say this because I'm concerned, always concerned for young people, that you will tell me exactly what I want to hear. You've been in my Sunday school class. You've been in Teenorama. You've been in Kids Club. You've been in Sunday school. And you know the answers. The question is, what do you believe? It might be, hey, my mom and dad, they believe this. Or my church believes this. The question is, what do you believe? And I still think that each one of us just sits short. I've been saying this for 17 years. I don't have any desires to resign, so I will get this done yet. I've always said I want to try to condense our doctrinal statement from having it 4 pages front and back to 1 page. Just to say, this is what the Sandusky Baptist Church believes. And to have it, be able to hand it to a visitor so that they wouldn't have to worry about reading through 3 pages, but they could look at the one and say, okay, this is what this church believes about God. This is what this church believes about Jesus. And I think, you know, you almost should do that individually. You know, hey, what do I believe about God? What do I believe about Jesus? What do I believe about the Holy Spirit? What do I believe about sin? What do I believe about salvation? What do I believe about the end times? These are some things that you should be able to have some understand. Hey, this is what I believe. You will never get to heaven on what Brian Cuddy believes. That's between me and the Lord. So you also need to say, hey, this is what I believe. And if you haven't come to that place of embracing Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to. And they did that here. Those who believed. What's the next thing they do, though? There's also a confession. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. They held themselves up to the standard of God and found themselves to be missing the mark. Right? They realized, I stand in front of a holy God who knows everything about me. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Now that can bother you a little bit too. Hey, God knows everything about me. I can hide things from Mrs. Cuddy. You know, I don't want to, but we live, sometimes we have our own personal lives and our own private lives. But God knows about them. And I need to realize that these people were willing to say, hey, we need to learn to confess. John took prayer meeting last Sunday, Wednesday night. And his topic was about repentance. And repentance is an important, and he made this point. Without repentance, there's no salvation. A person needs to come to the place of saying, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. Two aspects of repentance. Lord, I'm sorry for the sin I've been walking in over here. I know it's wrong. I know it's displeasing to you. I'm sorry, Lord. And now I'm going to do what? I'm going to turn from it. And I'm going to now walk in your ways. So many times, we do not see this in the lives of believers or the lives of people who profess to believers. We have many people, oh Lord, I love you, but boy, I certainly enjoy still doing what I used to do. And God would say, who are you? I don't know you. Because the person who knows Christ has turned from his sins. And these people here, it says what? Those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. And also we have what? They also did some spiritual house cleaning. They parted with things that cost them a pretty penny. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls and told the total came to 50,000 drachmas, a day's wages, 50,000 days' wages. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and they grew in power. The question we often ask, how do I know what needs to go? Now let me ask you, if you're honest with that, if you are honest with that question before the Lord, guess what He has going on in your life? He has the Spirit of God putting His finger on areas that need to go. Now the problem is, we know. Anybody know what conviction is here? Yeah, we've all felt the conviction of God at times. Lord, I'm going this way, and all of a sudden the Spirit says, hey, you're not supposed to be partaking of that anymore. And the question is whether you're willing to turn from it and get rid of it, or whether you still try to keep it to yourself. James 4 says it this way, you adulterous people, Don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scriptures say without reason, the spirit he caused to live within us envies intensely? What's that mean? Holy Spirit wants first place. He says, hey, these things you're holding on to, you got to get rid of them. And I prayed this morning that God would work in our lives, that we would be willing to rid ourselves of those things. Psalms 139 says it this way, search me, O God, and know my heart. And test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there are any offensive ways in me and lead me in the way everlasting. That word offensive ways has the idea of hurtful things. Hurtful ways, wicked ways. So we, and then tonight, today, once again, I got 3 minutes to do my sermon this morning. They parted with things that cost them a great deal. Our sermon this morning picks up in verse 23. About that time, there arose a great disturbance about the way. And once again, this is the name of the church. This is the name of the followers of Jesus. They are referred to as the way. And we just assume it comes out of the verse, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? About this time, there arose a great disturbance about the way. A silversmith named Demetrius, who made silver shrines for Artemis, brought in no little business for his craftsmen. He called them together, along with the workmen in related trades, and says, men, you know we receive a good income from this business. And you see and hear how this fellow Paul has convinced and led astray large numbers of people here in Ephesus and in practically the whole province of Asia. He says that man-made gods are no gods at all. There's a danger not only for our trade will lose its good name, but also the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be discredited, and the goddess herself, who is worshipped throughout the world, will be robbed of her divine majesty. When they heard this, they were furious and began shouting, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. Soon the whole city was in uproar. The people seized Gaius and Aristarchus from Macedonia and rushed as one man into the theater. Paul wanted to appear before the crowd, but the disciples would not let him go in. Even some of the officials of the province, friends of Paul, sent him a message begging him not to venture into the theater. The assembly was in the confusion. I always like this next phrase. Some were shouting one thing, some another. Most of the people did not even know why they were there. Okay. The Jews pushed Alexander to the front, and they kept on shouting, great is the goddess of Artemis. So they keep us up for 2 hours. My challenge this morning, when honoring Jesus causes others to complain about you, when the alcoholic turns to Christ, the bar owner loses a customer. When the pornographer turns to Christ, Playboy loses a subscription. When Jesus becomes Lord of my life, Satan loses a citizen of hell. When the mistress comes to Christ, the adulterer loses a lover. So we see that these people were willing to say, hey, to follow Christ, we put these things behind us. We get rid of them. We're not buying them anymore. And the question we have in our day, does my faith in Jesus Christ, does it affect the world anyway? Can they say, hey, I don't quite agree with what Brian Cousy's doing because he's costing me money by not buying my booze. He's costing me money by not buying my pornography. He's costing me money by not buying drugs. And sometimes we need to ask ourselves, are we the same as the world? Can the world see any difference in us? Are we bothering the world at all with our lifestyle? Or have we just been swept up with the flood that goes that way? God calls us to be different. He calls us to separate ourselves from the things of this world and to put Jesus Christ first in our lives. And this table, once again, is a reminder of that, that as believers, we are committing ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we come to you this morning. We would pray that your Spirit would finish this message this morning, that your Spirit would get a hold of our lives, and if we are trying to dress like the world, if we're trying to live like the world, that we might realize that as followers of Jesus Christ, we are to be different from the world. We ask, Lord, that you would just now, as we commit ourselves afresh as followers of you, that we might truly repent, that we truly might do spiritual house cleaning, and that we truly might make you Lord of all. We pray this in your name. Amen. Okay.